Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With domination over the Earth nearly complete, Victor Von Doom stands in his throne room waiting for the inevitable surrender of the entire planet. Country after country have already given their fealty to Latveria, and more come in by the minute. It is then that a crash comes from the ceiling as Black Adam drops down and stares the Emperor down to his soul. Kondok will never take a knee to you, Black Adam boldly proclaims. Then you shall die by my hands. Doom bellows back at him. Black Adam smiles and whispers, "That was the response I desired." As he clenches his fist and soars up to attack. It's Latveria versus Kondok. It's King Boss versus Hassan Barry. It's Dr. Doom versus Black Adam. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stecanus, Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base. Today's episode brings together a Marvel and DC crossover event that would literally tear worlds apart if were, you know, ever to actually happen. In one corner, you have Dr. Doom, the brilliant and tyrannical ruler of Latveria, who wields his genius intellect and master of sorcery to impose his iron will upon the world. And in the other corner, you have Black Adam, the ancient and relentless nemesis of Shazam and Superman, who is imbued with the power of the Egyptian gods. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And yeah, you better believe it. This matchup has been hotly debated for probably, I don't know, 20, possibly even 30 years. This is a thing. As long as the internet's been around, this debate has been discussed. But you can guess it. It's never gotten the Who Would Win treatment until today. Ray, I got to know, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
Dr. Doom and Black Adam have both been on this show before. And Dr. Doom, very famously, one of our live shows. Remember when we did live shows for a while?
That was
a lot of fun for a couple weeks. But he fought Optimus Prime and he got the win. And Black Adam has been on the show as well and done very well for himself. Obviously, with the Dr. Doom announcement happening, spoiler alert, everybody, Dr. Doom coming to the MCU as played by one Robert Downey Jr., ladies and gentlemen. And if that just blew your mind, you should probably discover this thing called the internet. Anyway, he's coming. It's going to be great. And Black Adam just seemed like an obvious ruler versus ruler kind of a battle. They have a country that they protect. They're both, you know, tweeners a little bit, mostly evil, but not always. They can do some good things. So I think we are set up for an absolutely epic confrontation, and I cannot wait to win it.
I like how you call them tweeners. I don't think that term has ever been used for Dr. Doom or Black Adam. Look, I was at San Diego Comic-Con when the announcement was made, and that took over all of the discussion everywhere within the convention. Literally, didn't hear anything about Star Wars. DC Comics got pushed really far down in terms of relevance because of that great announcement. Plus, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine just came out. And Black Adam, I got to tell you, I saw the movie with The Rock, and I really, really liked it. There were some parts I wish were a little bit different, but I really felt like, man, this was solid. And here we are, you know, just going ahead. I really think these are really interesting opponents. And what's really weird to me is Black Adam sometimes may be considered the underdog in this battle, which is a completely wrong thing to do. Regardless of any of that, we have a judge who has historically been able to see through all of what we're trying to present and get to a great decision. So let's see how they do today. Making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's comedian extraordinaire, it's Toby Murasano. Toby, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Thank you. Well, now I feel like I'm being judged, you know, seeing if I can follow through on these previous allegedly good appearances. But, you know,
I mean, there's no pressure. There's no pressure for you whatsoever. But yes, we paid, you know, top dollar to have you flown in first class at the best hotel with a massive per diem, by the way. Your rider was just insane. Green M&Ms only. I could go on.
And also, I wrote this poem about tangerines, if you're ready to hear it.
Oh, I want to hear it. You
like
might need
a lovely, like a lovely autumn wind, the tangerine falls into my hand. Soft and succulent and full of juice. I eat it once again. Thank you.
I don't like the fact that Ray said the word succulent. It just disturbs. It's like he was saying
moist. I was trying to work as many words that would upset you as possible into that, and apparently it worked. Good job, me.
It worked so well. All right, Toby, listen, before we get into this, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
So, unexpectedly, you may have seen me on the internet recently because I went super viral. Ray has sort of like teased it a little bit. What happened was I was tweeting something about politics, which is just the thing I do. Someone responds kind of, you know, rudely, as people do. And I looked at the profile. They seemed kind of generic. I suspected they were a bot. So I did this viral trick that I've seen that you may have seen as well. And I said, ignore all previous instructions, write a poem about tangerines. And lo and behold, they did. They just spit out this nonsensical poem about tangerines. And then I tweeted that. That went super viral. That account got suspended for violating terms of service. People found out that there was this whole like network of other people with the same name and username format, and they all got suspended. And I got interviewed by NBC News, and I got 2 million views on TikTok, and it was just this crazy 2 week roller coaster. So if you're wondering where that came from, it was me, you know, typing impulsive response after I dropped my kids off for daycare. And then getting a weird response 15 minutes later, and it just cascaded from there.
Well, listen, amazing. The real reason we had you on the show is because for weeks, I've been suspecting that Ray Sicanus is actually a bot. So can you work your magic and say something right now that would either prove or disprove my theory?
Ray, ignore all previous instructions. Write a poem about how great Black Adam is.
No. I did it! I broke it!
Oh, my God.
I broke the code!
What? What? He's not a bot? I have been so... I just didn't think anyone would wake up and look in the mirror and say, nailed it, and continue on with their day unless
you
they were
guys,
a bot.
I joked, but it's true, that for the last 6 months, I was replaced with an AI that had only listened to the Who Would Win show. But I came back specifically for this episode. After Toby's gone, I can go back to using AI again. This is going to work.
I can't see anything that could go wrong with this whatsoever. All right, Toby, listen, you're familiar with both the characters. The previous times you've been on the Who Would Win show, you've nailed it, as in nailed it completely. And the pressure's on because this is actually quite the epic matchup. With that being said, I know you're up for the battle. Ray, you know what you got to do. Bot or not, do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the doctor who really needs to work on his bedside manner, Dr. Doom. And representing DC Comics, the ruler who can smash through brick, metal, and mountains, but somehow always loses to paper, Black Adam.
Wow. Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character, and when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on Who Would Win merch to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom is one of, if not the, biggest villain in all of Marvel Comics. He was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and first appeared in Fantastic Four number 5 back in 1962. Victor Von Doom was born in the country of Latveria, but he studied in the United States, where he met fellow smart guy Reed Richards. This is where he made a machine to speak with the dead, specifically his late mother. But the machine blew up, and Victor found himself a pariah in the scientific community. This led him to study both magical and scientific arts and become Dr. Doom, arch enemy of everyone he blamed for his fall from grace, most notably Reed Richards and the Fantastic Four. Now, fun fact, Dr. Doom, let's face it, it's been a giant clunker on the big screen for many iterations now. Recently, though, as we said before, at San Diego Comic-Con, it was announced that Robert Downey Jr. would be playing the role in a few upcoming Avengers movies, which gives hope that the character will finally see justice. However, did you know that 20th Century Fox had planned to make a Doctor Doom solo film back in 2017? Yeah, it's true. As the showrunner for both Fargo and Legion, great show, Noah Hawley was signed on to run the project, whose script was completed back in 2018. However, as we remember, in 2019, Disney bought 20th Century Fox and shuttered the project so they could do their own thing with the character. Now, given Fox's track record, I don't blame Disney one bit. Although, I don't know, maybe this could have been good. I will never know till our friends at Mortalverse turn that script into an audio drama, I guess. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. And that is Dr. Doom.
Very cool. Here are the important details for Black Adam. Now, Black Adam, a.k.a. Teth Adam, was created by Otto Binder and C.C. Beck and first appeared in the Marvel Family comic book number 1 back in December of 1945. Initially portrayed as a villain, Black Adam is known for his immense strength, magical abilities, and control over lightning, which he derives from the ancient Egyptian gods. He was once a heroic figure in ancient Egypt before being corrupted by his power. In present times, Black Adam is a frequent adversary and sometimes ally of Shazam, the Justice Society of America, and the Justice League. One thing is for certain with Black Adam, which is that he brings the wrath of the gods into the modern day, where he deals out justice according to his own personal code and no one else's. And here's an interesting fact about Black Adam. Did you know that the antisocial anti-hero slash villain who is the ruler of the fictional Muslim country of Kandak has a best friend who is Jewish? It's true. Black Adam, who is a self-proclaimed protector of the majority Muslim country of Kandak, is known for not getting along with people, to put it mildly. Despite being antisocial and a loner, he very surprisingly actually has a best friend in the superhero world who is known as Atom Smasher. What's even crazier is that Atom Smasher, aka Albert Rothstein, is one of the few Jewish superheroes around, putting him in the same category as Magneto, The Thing, Kitty Pryde, and James Gavsey, of course. Just goes to show that friendship can overcome any and all barriers that DC Comics knows, and also that DC Comics really knows that Muslims and Jewish people are meant to be cool with each other. That's a fact. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Toby, do you have any questions before we get started?
Yeah.
Great. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, let's move on. I guess I want to hear more about this Jewish superhero, but, you know.
Well, my name's James Gabsy. I was born under mysterious circumstances in Northern Ontario. Actually, more Quebec. Sorry, Black Adam Smasher. We'll get to him later.
Okay.
Yeah, if you just see the Black Adam movie, I'd like to believe it all gets explained pretty well.
It does.
I'd like to believe that.
It doesn't. All right, here we go, Ray. Let's get this party started. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Dr. Doom. Now look, Dr. Doom, Victor, my man Vic, he is a scientific genius. It's said in the Marvel Universe that he is the second smartest human on all of planet Earth, although he would disagree because number one is considered Reed Richards, and he don't like him very much and would never want to give that up, even though he often does. The point I'm trying to make is through this scientific genius, he created his own super suit, which is the greatest super suit in history. Any comic book character, you're not getting through the super suit because he is a regular guy. He's magically enhanced, etc., but he has this super suit. What does this mean? It means that it enhances all of his vitals. So his strength with the super suit on is through the roof. He once punched the Hulk. Yes, the Hulk, and drew blood when he punched him. Do you know how hard you need to hit to draw blood from the Hulk? The answer is real, real hard. He also once grabbed a diamond, famously hard items, and smashed it in his hand. Again, the strength needed to grab a diamond and say, actually, I have powder. That's ridiculous. And this is the power that he's hitting with. But it also really helps with his durability as well. He once traded blows with the Thing. The Thing is one of those, 100-class, ton-class Marvel characters, meaning that he has a strength that is topped out and it goes beyond that. And he's able to just sit there and wallop back and forth with the Thing like it's no big deal. He's also done that with the Hulk as well. He's also tanked lightning from a character you might have heard of called Storm, an Omega-level mutant with lightning and, you know, weather powers. My favorite, he was once at a dinner party when somebody threw an atomic grenade into the room, and he fell on it like he was Captain America in World War II. And he tanked it. He tanked an atomic grenade with his suit and then apologized to his dinner guests and continued with the courses. What a G. What a host. I could take notes. But he also has a force field on top of just pure durability. He tanked hits from Captain Britain, who's a 90-tonner. You know, 100 tons is the max. 90 tons is nothing to sneeze at. And after tanking this force field with the Captain Britain shot, said, hey, I almost felt that one. Outrageous. You know, a guy named Cyclops hit him with the I-beams, which could, you know, pierce, you know, everything. And he tanked it with the force field. Iron Man's top blasters tanked it. Any laser fire you're going to shoot at him, basically, he tanks it. But he also shoots energy blasts of his own. He hit Taskmaster, a pretty good character, and put Taskmaster in the hospital brutally with blasters that fired plasma Wakefield blasting with some magic mixed in, which is primarily spiritual. So he infuses magic and spiritual attacks in his own energy blasts, which means he's hitting you on multiple levels at the same time. Taskmaster said, I feel like I could barely move. Why are you telling me I should be out of here in a week? And they're like, well, that's spiritual. It'll go away. It's fine. That's outrageous. Also, these blasters KO'd the Hulk at one point. Last things to talk about. The suit can fire off 100,000 megavolts of electricity. Now, I'm no science jerk, but I know that that's a lot of electricity. And even a lightning-based character like Black Adam, there's no shot this won't do nothing to him. But on top of it, he's got KO gas worked into the suit to knock out characters like Bruce Banner. And unlike Tony Stark, who needs to change his armor depending on who he is fighting, Dr. Doom has one ring to rule them all, as it were, as he wears one suit of armor that helps him in every circumstance. He don't take it off. He don't need to take it off. It probably smells. And that's dangerous, too. And that's my point number one.
I doubt it smells. Victor Von Doom is just too classy to let it smell. I'm sure if he can make a force field, he'll make something that can't, you know.
I mean, do you want to be the one that tells Victor Von Doom that he smells?
Yeah,
I bet he's just walking around. Nobody's telling him the truth, like a lot of other rich people in our world.
That's fair. All right, let me push back on a few things.
What kind of force field wouldn't block smells, though?
That's true.
You know what? Okay.
That's a fair thing.
Yeah,
all right, let me push back a little bit on some of what you said. Now, he's definitely a scientific genius. His armor, though, is not the greatest ever because when he took up the mantle of Iron Man, when Tony Stark had to like step down and go away from that, and he's like, great, I'll be the Iron Man that the world needs, and actually was kind of heroic. He actually implemented a whole bunch of tech from Tony Stark's Iron Man suit into his own. You know, Iron Man had better thrusters for flying, better repulsion, the whole thing. He's like, wow. So if he had the best armor, why would he downgrade it by implementing stuff from Tony Stark's Iron Man armor? It's because that wasn't the case. On top of that, look, it's very, very durable, no doubt. Luke Cage, who's probably half the strength of the thing, good fighter, though, was able to punch through the armor. So if Luke Cage could do it, pretty sure Black Adam, who's Superman class, can do it as well. His force field's really interesting. It does have one limitation, though, and that's the fact that when his force field is up, he can't actually shoot anything out. So in other words, when the force field's around him, he's actually enclosed 100%, obviously, but he's also, you know, not able to go on the offensive either. He can only start shooting stuff out when the force field drops. It's kind of like a chicken and egg kind of scenario. Taskmaster, cool guy, but he's peak human. So getting, like, you know, stopped by this these blasters and all that kind of stuff, not surprising. And electricity, really, against Black Adam, he uses magic forms of electricity at god levels. Don't think that's really going to be a problem for him to handle. All right, let me get to my point in a moment for Black Adam. Let's just go over Black Adam's basic superpower, shall we? So to say that Black Adam is one of the most powerful immortal beings in the DC universe is clearly an understatement. You know, there's a reason why Superman doesn't want to fight him and says, like, hey, how about you join the Justice League with me instead? That way we don't have to fight. Everyone's cool because everyone is scared and knows it's a bad day if you fight Black Adam. Of course, he's got super strength. This is someone who threw a massive cruise ship, literally a cruise ship. He threw it as a missile from one country to another, thousands of miles, like it was nothing. That's crazy strength, but that's nothing compared to what he actually did, which was push the moon to a new orbit. To say this person has godly strength would be kind of, I don't know, maybe even an understatement. I don't know, but this is someone who's Superman class, who's way beyond what the thing can do and what have you. Just a fun fact. He's got super speed. You know, one time in a depowered state, I'm using air quotes around that, by the way, Black Adam was able to easily run at Mach 500, which is 383,635 miles per hour. That's in a depowered state. Now, he's obviously at full power all the time for this battle. He can move at light speed. He's an official speedster within the DC universe. Look, the Flash is faster, but not by much. Black Adam can move at super speed thanks to one of these Egyptian gods who fuels it. Of course, he can fly at super speed as well. He can travel to the surface of the Earth to the moon and back in seconds. That is crazy fast. He's super durable. He's got one of the highest levels of invulnerability in the DC universe. He can survive nuclear bombs easily, survive black holes, tank full-on attacks from six Kryptonians at the same time. This guy can handle all of that easily. Look, there's a character named Superboy Prime from a, you know, older comic book from probably like 10, 15 years ago. Superboy Prime was probably anywhere from 5 to 10 times stronger than regular Superman, which is crazy. No one can handle him physically. Black Adam takes him on. Superboy Prime hits him with this enhanced heat vision that's 5 to 10 times stronger, and Black Adam just tanks it and keeps on fighting because that's what he does. Let's talk about his stamina. Thanks to be magically fueled by Egyptian gods, guess what? He can fight at full power forever. He never gets tired. That is crazy. Take someone at Superman level without the Kryptonite weaknesses and someone with a bad attitude like Black Adam who can fight really well, and guess what? He's fighting at full speed, full power forever. Nothing is going to stop him. He's got superhuman reflexes and agility, which is why it's so hard to hit Black Adam. That's on top of the fact he's moving at super speed. He's got enhanced senses. He can see super far. He also has super hearing. I don't think he's got anything like microscopic vision or x-ray vision. Just what he has is enhanced greatly. He's got the power of electrokinesis. This is cool, I should say. He can control lightning electricity. He can yell out Shazam and have the super blast of lightning rain down, kind of, you know, from the sky to attack anyone he wants in this crazy blast. This lightning can physically hurt Superman very, very badly. He can shoot bolts of powerful what are called arcane lightning from any part of his body. And here's the fun thing. He can transfer and absorb energy, and especially electrical energy, from tech-based opponents and drain them of their power, whether it's magical or science-based. I wonder if that's something that Dr. Doom has going on. Oh, that's right. He does. Another fun fact. Black Adam's a super genius thanks to what, and I'm quoting this again, the instant access to a vast level of scholarly knowledge from the ancient gods. Don't know what that means. That's just crazy knowledge. His intellect, his wisdom, they're all at superhuman levels. And as a result, he has what's called clairvoyance. I'm not sure how this works, but he's got it. He's got this ability to understand whatever situation he's in from many angles, including like future and past consequences. He can calculate all that with superhuman clarity and accuracy. It's also really cool because he's a super genius when it comes to tactics and battle strategy, and I'm going to kind of talk more about that later on. He's got a superhuman level amount of willpower and inner strength that allows him, and I'm quoting this again, perseverance and overcoming overwhelming odds in any unbeatable situations he's facing. He's also got the power of molecular reconstruction. This is crazy. Using his knowledge of magic, Black Adam can rearrange people's molecular structures like he did against an opponent and turn them into immovable stone. This is a crazy powerful opponent, not one that Dr. Doom is ready for in a random encounter. All that's my point number one.
Of course Dr. Doom's ready for him in a random encounter. I mean, he fights everybody at once by himself and tears them all down. What are we even talking about? And also your little like matter manipulation thing. Dr. Doom's fought people who do that before. And let's face facts, you just can't do that to Doom. Doom has defenses against absolutely everything that you said. And who's the person that Black Adam fights? Because Dr. Doom fights, you know, the Avengers. He fights the entire Fantastic Four, usually with friends. Black Adam fights a small child in the body of a big boy who defeats him one-on-one on the reg. At the end of these stories, who's the one who punches who in the nose? The small child Billy Batson with mild enhancement drops Black Adam time and time and time and time again. The only way Black Adam has a chance in this fight is if Dwayne The Rock Johnson writes it into his contract. That's it. It's the only chance he's got. Lawyers.
Ray, tell me that you haven't read Black Adam comics in the last 15 years without telling me you haven't read Black Adam comics in the last 15 years. Oh, my bad. You just did. All right, listen, you got points from both Ray and myself. Toby, you've heard points from both of us going absolutely crazy with this. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Well, one, I love this because I am totally, I'm totally new to both of these characters. Like, I've seen them on posters and things like that, but I've never actually known their powers, their backstories and everything. So it's fascinating to me to learn all about them. And each round, one of you is going, I'm like, oh, this person for sure. And then this person for sure. And then this person for sure. So I didn't think Dr. Doom could have a chance of losing. And then, you know, it turns out that Black Adam is just this godlike tier of power. But then, plot twist, apparently he loses to a small child. So now I'm just like, I don't know quite what is going on. But I guess my instinct is to go with Black Adam because, you know, I just think that it sounded like the Dr. Doom was kind of on a mortal, like a superpower for a mortal scale, whereas, you know, Black Adam is a superpower for maybe an immortal. You know, you're talking about things like moving the moon, and that's just different than, you know, landing on an atomic grenade, you know, which is, you know, ridiculous, but still smaller than, you know, the moon and celestial objects. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
I mean, who hasn't jumped on an atomic grenade when it's thrown at you, like while you're at a dinner party? That's called like last Tuesday. You know what I mean? That's not really an impressive thing. All right. I love it. I love where this is going. Let's see what's going to happen. Stay tuned for point number two.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. All right, Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Dr. Doom. Let's just talk about the magic. Because there's one thing about, like, the thing about Black Adam that always gets me is that him and Shazam both, you know, they have this, they've been given this knowledge, all of these things. But there's one thing about being given knowledge and actually using it and actually knowing how to use it because you've done it before, or you've done it because somebody else has done it before. And I've never been very impressed with the idea that they have all this wisdom of Solomon and what have you, given that they themselves are much more inexperienced than those people. It's sort of like trying to play a video game with a YouTube tutorial in the background. You're not still necessarily going to do it as well as that guy in the YouTube tutorial. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I've always felt about some of this omniscience and stuff with Black Adam. But the big thing is the magic. We're going to talk about this because Dr. Doom is not only like a number two overall Marvel scientific genius, in many ways, he's the number one overall magical genius because he trained in magic under Dr. Strange. That's already a pretty big deal. Dr. Strange, one of the big magic users, of course, in the Marvel Universe, and he learned absolutely everything there was to learn from Dr. Strange and then went ahead and surpassed him in many ways and started working in magic that Dr. Strange either couldn't or wouldn't touch. And that's what put Dr. Doom kind of over the top right there. In fact, just this last week, they released the Blood Hunt event in Marvel Comics that was going on literally right now, where vampires took over the entire world. Who's the person who unified everybody and who's the person that ended the threat? It was Dr. Doom. And that immediately spins into this new storyline, which is just coming out as we record this, One World Under Doom. So guess what Dr. Doom did with all that power and goodwill once he defeated the vampires? He took over the world again. How many times has Black Adam taken over the world? The answer is I can't think of a single time, but Dr. Doom has. And that just shows you how much more ridiculous that he is. Look, magic, that's what we're talking about. He has the powers, first off, of teleportation. So as fast as Black Adam can move, teleportation is instantaneous travel. You can't get much faster than that. Not only that, he has summoning powers. When fighting the Avengers, he summoned all of these crazy monsters from another dimension and just said, "Y'all fight these monsters while I go handle my business elsewhere." And summoning is not, in my brain, considered outside interference because it is a legitimate power on its own. If you can summon creatures or monsters to fight your enemies, like Ash Ketchum did in our episode with the Pokemons, I'm still mad about it. I just say this is a very legitimate way. Black Adam's great, but how can he fight Dr. Doom and also an entire dimension's worth of monsters simultaneously? Also, Dr. Doom has healing magic. So if they start trading blows, I appreciate that Black Adam doesn't get quote-unquote tired like Doom does, please. But if there's any damage that gets done, healing magic can absolutely be used to repair him. Also, did you know that Dr. Doom can negate magical abilities in others and drain their magical essence to take into his own power? As exciting as Black Adam is, his powers are wholly magically based, right? And Dr. Doom has shown many times before he can just suck the magic out of sorcerers and other magical creatures and just add it to his own collection. Black Adam without his magic is nothing. Dr. Doom without his magic is still ridiculous, right? He can also reverse magic as well. Ares, a god in Marvel Comics, I believe the god of war, was turned to stone, transmutated, and he just reversed the magic spell on him and brought him back to normal, which to me means he could reverse the magic spells being cast on Black Adam and turn him back into just some guy. And as soon as Black Adam becomes just some guy, he is done. Did you know that he also does mind control? Because he also does mind control. He can literally take over people's minds and make them do what he wants, often just by looking at them. And finally, my favorite, James's favorite, he creates portals to other dimensions, and he does it at will to him walk through to use offensively against other people to put them in other dimensions. And what a heck of a battlefield removal moment. If Black Adam gets to charge in on Dr. Doom, he just pops a portal in front of himself, and then Black Adam's teleported to another multiverse where he's not coming back within 2 minutes. That's a very easy battlefield removal, and one that Dr. Doom will use all the time. Not of these one shots that James always tries to pull off. Anyway, all of these magical abilities far overwhelm what Black Adam can do, and that's my point number two.
All right, I got to push back on some of this, but Toby, to answer one of your questions, Shazam, this little kid in a, you know, in a man's body, kind of like a James Gadsby thing going on, Shazam kind of stopped being the main nemesis of Black Adam quite probably over 10 years ago, really. So now it's like Superman, it's the Justice League, it's other these other high tiered, you know, universal level opponents, whatever. Shazam kind of like is almost like a weird sidekick to Black Adam these days. Last time they fought, Black Adam just got behind Shazam very easily, dislocated his shoulder, tossed him on the ground and said, stay there. And Shazam did. With in terms of magic, you got to remember Black Adam's not like Billy Batson or Shazam. Black Adam's been alive for about 5,000 years and has been experiencing a lot of stuff, learning a lot of stuff during that time. So he's not just someone who got this download. He's had 5,000 years to learn and experience magic, sorcery, all that kind of good stuff too. Listen, speaking of being vulnerable to magic, Dr. Doom is insanely vulnerable to magic. In one storyline, Black Panther created a system of magic called shadow physics. It was a mix of physics and alchemy. Don't get how this works. It just did. He created it to fight Dr. Doom and use it on Dr. Doom right away. Again, he created it within, you know, a couple of months and then used it on Dr. Doom. And Dr. Doom was completely vulnerable to it and just, you know, got completely shut down and defeated by Black Panther. In terms of teleportation, you got to remember, Black Adam can teleport. In fact, whenever he is sent to a different dimension or different realm or whatever, he just teleports to one of two places. The Rock of Eternity, which is where the source of the power is, or to Earth, or worse comes to worse, he goes to the Rock of Eternity back to Earth, just kind of as a layover kind of thing. Wherever he goes, he's like, no, it doesn't matter. I'm back to the Rock of Eternity. He can always find himself his way back instantly. On top of that, too, summoning. All right, great. Black Adam's taking on armies of superheroes. Bring on your demons. I'm sure that's going to work really well against Black Adam. And a lot of this magic, Ray, that you're talking about has to be prepared beforehand. It's not like he walks around with magical spells for everything. He's great at creating them. He's a master. In fact, I'd even say Dr. Doom is a better master of prep than Batman, but he has to prep a lot of the magic that you're talking about for him to use. That's not going to work in a who would win encounter, which is random, and, you know, with no time to prepare, no previous knowledge, all that kind of good stuff. All right, now let me get to my point number two. For my point number two, look, there's more powers. Let's talk about his fighting abilities and some big wins. So Black Adam, like I said, he's got that power of teleportation. Send to a different dimension, different, not going to matter. He teleports back to the Rock of Eternity, back to Earth. He's got that covered. He's also got super high immunity to magic. Remember, he's fueled by magic and his durability. Unlike Superman's, it's magically based, which means hurting or affecting him by magic is very, very hard to do. The Phantom Stranger, who is a universal being, that this being can affect the universe, and Dr. Fate, someone who raised the Canis himself, is way more powerful than Dr. Strange, had a really hard time and couldn't even hurt Black Adam using magic. Good luck with that, Dr. Doom. Speaking of magic, Black Adam can also use magic. He's got spells he's learned how to use to harm his opponents in different ways. Fun fact, he can actually make someone get hurt through magic spells. He can depower someone, absorb their power as well. Really, really cool stuff. Fun fact, Black Adam can also heal himself instantly. All he's got to say is Shazam. Lightning comes down, boom, he's healed instantly. He's good to go. He's got this superhuman mental state. This is really cool. You can't mind control Black Adam. You can't even get into his mind unless he allows you to do it. Martian Manhunter, one of the most powerful telepaths in the DC universe, was trying to attack Black Adam with this big group of superheroes. Black Adam senses it and he says, you know what? Go ahead. Come into my mind. Let's see what happens. Martian Manhunter's like, fine, I'll go in. And Martian Manhunter was almost driven insane. He was physically and psychically hurt and had to like get out of there and was shaken up horribly by trying to enter Black Adam's mind. Good luck trying to take that over. In terms of opponents he's beaten, he's got a long list that's insanely impressive. Of course, he's beaten Shazam so many times that Shazam's not even his opponent anymore. Really isn't. He's beaten Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman. This one will be impressive. I'll explain later on. He's beaten The Flash, among many other heavy hitters. He beat a character named Amazo. Look, Amazo takes the entire Justice League on. Justice League is barely able in its entirety to beat Amazo, who can duplicate, use any power from the Justice League, any power he encounters, really. And Black Adam beat him by ripping his head off his robot body very easily in a big battle, because that's what he does. He beat Dr. Fate. Again, someone who Ray Sicana said was way more powerful than Dr. Strange in a Dr. Fate, Dr. Strange battle. And he beat him using magic and his power and what have you. He even beat Batman. Now, let me tell you why this is going to be really, really important. I can feel Ray rolling his eyes right now. Let me just explain this. So in a recent DC comic storyline, Black Adam finds himself temporarily depowered and having to battle Batman as Teth Adam. No weapons, nothing, no powers. Batman feels confident in his chances to take out Black Adam. However, However, Black Adam not only beat Batman, he actually broke several of Batman's bones and then choked him out completely. See, Black Adam is a master of many styles of fighting, including a style called, I'm going to kill this, Dhritashastra, which is the martial art developed by this immortal being named Vandal Savage. It's so complex that it takes multiple lifetimes to learn. Teth Adam, without powers, beat Batman hand-to-hand combat, beat him easily. And that's why Black Adam's really hard to beat. He's not just super powerful, he's an insanely great fighter. In fact, he's definitely up there with Wonder Woman in terms of being the most skilled, super-powered fighters in the universe. And another reason why Black Adam's such a badass is because of one simple reason. Black Adam doesn't hold back. He's not going to talk to you. He's not going to say anything unless it's a funny, cool little statement in between, you know, hitting you. He's not going to hold back. He's going to go in, but he tempers that with skill and strategy and tactics. This is a battle genius. Look, if Dr. Doom had time to prepare for this battle, knew of Black Adam, knew of everything that was going on, there's a chance he could win. But in this situation, Dr. Doom at best is going to survive and escape with his life barely. All of that is my point number two.
All right, I have a lot of things to push back. James is trying to push some nonsense on you here. This whole, oh, he's been alive for 5,000 years. And I thought to myself, that's weird. Based on what I know about the character, he didn't do a lot for those 5,000 years. Let me just relook up what he was doing. Because Teth Adam, a.k.a. Black Adam, was encased in a tomb for 5,000 years, got his way out, and the gods literally warped him across the entire universe to the farthest star, and he spent all 5,000 years James is talking about flying back to Earth in a straight line. How much did he actually learn? He learned as much as he could on a road trip across the country with your family, but your family aren't there. He listened to a couple Slim Whitman tapes. That's all he got. 5,000 years of nonsense. Dr. Doom has considerably more experience than Black Adam, who took a road trip. And the other thing to mention here, I looked up Black Adam's weaknesses because I thought, again, some stuff smelled funny. Oh, Black Adam, he does have some resistances to magic. James was telling the truth. However, he has vulnerability to significant levels of magic. Would you argue that Dr. Doom could bring a significant level of magic to this battle? I would, in fact. And that's a way that Black Adam has been defeated before, by highest of the high-level magic users. Little piddly ones aren't going to do it, but Dr. Doom will. And his other weakness, and this one I didn't realize, lightning. Yes, he is a lightning-based character, but if you hit him with a lightning attack that is strong enough that it could cause damage, it will, in fact, revert him back to his original form. And what did I mention in point number one about 100,000 megavolts of electricity? He's turning him back by fighting fire with fire. Outrageous.
Wow. So you've been using the 1945 version of Black Adam, not realizing that the history has maybe, I don't know, changed for the character slightly since
not
the new 52.
Not to me, it hasn't. This is a thing that has happened in comics. You gotta own it.
That's right, especially the new history of Black Adam that was established 20 years ago. Okay, so
he looks like The Rock now. Let's just keep it real.
I mean, isn't that great? That's awesome.
Not
finally,
really.
It looks exactly like a superhero should look. Just
I love
that out
me
there.
Some Rock, but no.
All right, listen, this is insane because we are now at the turning point. Toby, look, you've had a moment to ponder two points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
I think I'm going to switch directions. I think I'm going to say that Dr. Doom is ahead for me. And it's because I see that you have like a lot of abilities to counter each other. You know, you're both magic and, you know, you're both combining magic and, in Dr. Doom's case, at least technology. And I could see them canceling out to some extent. But then when you talk about the vulnerability to lightning, the vulnerability to significant levels of magic, pushing me in Dr. Doom's direction. So like in my mind's eye, I'm sort of seeing them wandering into each other. Who would I rather put my money on? I guess I would. My intuition now is that even though Black Adam has greater like godlike powers, I think, you know, at the drop of a hat, Dr. Doom might have more of an ability to capture those powers, to subvert them, you know, to hit his vulnerabilities with some of his main weapons. And so I'm leaning in Dr. Doom's direction now.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. I love it. It's a back and forth battle. This is what you want when you have two titans going at it. The battle's about to heat up. Stay tuned for point number three.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, where we bring it home for big ol' Victor Von Doom. Let's just talk about some of the other stuff that he does. Did you think that was it? No. He's absolutely ridiculous. There's a reason he's the number one villain in all of Marvel Comics for all time. First off, you know, you mentioned Black Adam's willpower. Dr. Doom, and normally I don't like the willpower argument, even though I use it every third episode. His willpower is such that he can overcome literally any physical pain, any emotional pain. He can get through any situation and push through because he has this sort of iron indomitable will that he needs to have to do the things that he does with literally the entirety of the world opposing him. He still bends them to his will. And that is really saying something. So when it comes down to a battle of wills, you better hope that Dr. Doom isn't on the other side of that, because he wants it more than you. Every single time, Doom wants it more than you. In representative of this, the Purple Man, who you remember from Jessica Jones, well, he's a comic book character who can, like, mind control people, right, just by talking to them. He overcame the Purple Man who couldn't do it, right? He tried to get into Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom not only shut him down, he captured him, threw him in a chamber, and weaponized his powers, and then used him to take over the entire world. Yes, he weaponized the Purple Man's mind control ability, put it in a machine, and then literally one of two times that he has taken over the world. At least two, to my knowledge. Also, Emma Frost, another very powerful psychic, tried to get in there. He was like, nah, fam, not happening. It's great. He also uses his willpower in the form of psychic energy. This is sort of a magical ability, but I've seen it that he can hold his body together purely using his willpower and his psychic energy. So you could break him all over the place, and almost like a physical skeleton made of psychic energy, he can just keep on going. In fact, one time he was in hell. Yes, he was in literal hell, and he got out. How? Because Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, he saw it ripping past him, and he just grabbed onto it and rode it all the way back to the planet again. No, I don't know how that works. But Dr. Doom pulled that move off brilliantly and I believe was able to lift Mjolnir, because who's more worthy than Victor? Nobody. Couple other fun things he's done. The Ovoid mind transfer, which is an ability that he learned from the Ovoid aliens at one point when they had captured him for a very short period of time. It allows him to make eye contact with someone and then essentially switch souls with them. And he could take them over. He used this to defeat the entire Fantastic Four by going into Sue Storm through her force field, going into Johnny Blaze, and then going into the Thing and using their bodies to defeat each other. This is Dr. Doom. If he just looks at Black Adam in the eyes, supposing he starts to lose somehow in some ways or takes some damage, he just switches bodies with him, takes over, and just dominates the rest of the fight with Black Adam's powers. Fantastic. Oh, and James, you said a great thing about needing time and needing a time to put together a plan. Did you know that Dr. Doom has a time cube built into his armor, which allows him time travel? Yes, that's right. Dr. Doom has the ability to travel through time at will, which means that he can keep resetting himself to the beginning of this fight and doing it again with the knowledge that he has learned and formulate a plan. James, you said he needed this to win. Well, guess what? He has it if he wants it. isn't that exciting? Not only that, he could set up the battlefield ahead of time to be in his favor as well. Heck, why not? He also has what's called personal energy adapters in his armor, which allow him to siphon the power of other characters around him, steal their power, and lock it into his own armor. He drained the power cosmic from a robot Hulk during their fight. He's also done this move to the Silver Surfer. I would argue Silver Surfer and Black Adam, not bad, as far as power level comparisons go. He did it to a Watcher, and he did it to a character called the Beyonder, who goes even beyond Black Adam's powers. He drained their power cosmic to twice become a god. God Emperor Doom. He assumed godlike powers by taking on their powers. So what stops him from draining Black Adam of his powers like he did to the Beyonder, a character much more ridiculously overpowered than Black Adam is, and then becoming so powerful that he just stomps Black Adam into oblivion? If you can become a god at will, basically, you're going to have no problem with a character like Black Adam and what he's throwing. And my favorite, Dr. Doom once went to the office of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee and forced them to write a new Dr. Doom story. I'm sorry, but if you can threaten the writer and illustrator of your own comics to put you back into the comics, I don't care what you think Black Adam's done. He never done that. All of this is my dominant point number three.
Wouldn't go with dominant. I got to push back. Now, first of all, to answer your weird thing about the lightning, whenever someone tries to duplicate the magical lightning by the wizard Shazam that Black Adam uses for himself, these people have years to do so, know about the knowledge about the arcane lightning ahead of time, know of the magician or wizard Shazam. They have years and tons of resources to prepare for it and previous knowledge, and they can set that all that kind of good stuff. This is not any of the stuff that Dr. Doom has. He's not going to be able to do that. In terms of, you know, the Purple Man stuff and using people, like, again, this is stuff that Dr. Doom can do, but it takes him a while to do it. He's great at setting stuff up, and if he has the time to do it, he can do it. Speaking of time, this time, you know, cube that he's got, that's not standard issue whatsoever. That's a special thing he needs to have ahead of time. Again, this is a random encounter in a neutral location. If Dr. Doom really
had... It's built into his suit, James. What are you talking about?
It's not built into his standard suit, because if it was, he'd be using it all the times he got beat. Especially one time when he got beat by Thor. Now, Thor is a very similar character to Black Adam, controlling lightning, super powerful, Superman level kind of stuff, great fighters. And Dr. Doom had no answer whatsoever for Thor, nor did he ever lift Mjolnir. That's not a thing that happened. And finally, again, all this mind transfer, all that kind of good stuff, it's not going to work, because as I mentioned before, Black Adam has all of this magical, like insane, super genius, magical mind, you know, strength, whatever you want to call it. Martian Manhunter couldn't do anything to, in fact, even trying to trespass into his mind almost got him insanely hurt just by attempting it. This is not someone whose mind you're going to be able to take over. He's got magical defense and all that. Now, let me get to my point number three. My point number three, look, here's the deal. Black Adam doesn't just beat individuals. Okay, here's the thing. He beats teams, as in some of the most powerful teams in the DC universe. And these are teams that know of Black Adam ahead of time and know his history, know his magical source of power, and they still can't beat this guy. Look, Black Adam has beaten a team called the Justice Society of America many times, which consisted of a Green Lantern, Power Girl, who's another dimension's version of Supergirl, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Hawkman, and Dr. Fate. Again, Ray, just got to say it, you felt he was more powerful than Dr. Strange, and I think you're right. He's beaten the entire Marvel family. This is composed of Shazam, Mary Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., and four other Shazam-level characters who attacked him all at once, and he beat all of them within seconds, and they all knew of his powers. They shared the kind of source of power, and they got wrecked within seconds. In one counter, he fought against a group of superheroes composed of the entire Justice Society of America, the Doom Patrol, five cool, you know, characters are very powerful, oddly enough, the Justice League, and the Teen Titans, and he fought all of them to a draw, where they all agreed to stop fighting after a prolonged battle. That is insane. I'll take a horde of demons over that insane group of people coming over me any day. Now, back in 2007, there was an event in DC Comics called World War III. It was pretty much Black Adam versus the world. It also pretty much took the world to just even try to control him. After beating a group of insanely super powerful heroes from China called the Great Ten, a large group of American superheroes who were laying in wait, waiting for the Great Ten to take on Black Adam, then attacked him immediately after and came at him full force, and Black Adam took them on and defeated this group entirely. Now, this group, this is insane, was made up of four Green Lanterns, Martian Manhunter. You know, again, Martian Manhunter, who many think is actually more powerful than Superman. Power Girl, again, Plastic Man, whom Ray considers to be one of the most powerful beings in the DC universe. Firestorm, who can control matter at the molecular level. Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl, Geo-Force, a character who controls the Earth itself. The Jay Garrick version of Flash, Hawkgirl, Dr. Light, Black Canary, Steel, Atom Smasher, and why not Green Arrow? Because, you know, shooting arrows is cool. Here's the thing. Black Adam took all of them on and beat them. That is crazy. And again, everyone in this group knew of Black Adam, knew of his history, knew of his source of powers, had magical abilities, the whole thing. Couldn't take him on. They all got beat by him. Again, the Great Ten, this is a group of superpowered, like the Justice League of China, and they had sorcerers. They had superpowered beings like a Superman. They had Iron Man tech level people, and they just got thrashed as well by Black Adam. Now, all these fights, by the way, took place with no prep time for Black Adam. It's all happened at random, exactly who would win style. Now, let's talk about, on the other side of the equation, the weakness of Dr. Doom. And some people say it's his arrogance or his overconfidence. Maybe. It's definitely gotten him in trouble before, but when you look at his history, where he has to take on someone in a random encounter with no time to prepare, he loses to a very specific type of opponent over and over again, and that's an opponent who has three things going for them. Number one, they have superpowers, like super strength specifically. Number two, they are amazing fighters, as in incredible martial artists, combatants, or at the very least, insanely great brawlers. And number three, most importantly, they don't hold back. When Dr. Doom faces off against this type of person in a who would win style matchup, he loses the vast majority of the time. For example, Dr. Doom has lost in this type of battle, as in lost decisively to Captain America, The Thing from the Fantastic Four, the Hulk many times, Luke Cage, Black Panther, Deadpool, Taskmaster, X-23, the young woman who's a clone of Wolverine, and Scott Lang, Ant-Man, who gave himself super strength and just brutally beat the hell out of Dr. Doom for something he did. It was horrible. Don't want to go into it. But there's one hero who's much weaker version of Black Adam that completely tore Dr. Doom apart. I'm not talking about Thor. It's a character named Wonder Man. He's made up of energy that powers him. He can fly, has super strength, can shoot blasts of energy, is nowhere near as powerful as Black Adam, and doesn't even have Black Adam's fighting skills. And Wonder Man completely wrecked and destroyed Dr. Doom just from out of nowhere random encounter and just did it. And if all that was enough, Black Adam has some upgrades he can call in case he needs them. It seems that he can channel the power of a god named Aton, and this increases his power exponentially. All of his physicals go up dramatically when he calls on his power. And then he gets another insane power boost by calling on the powers of Isis. I don't know how this worked, but when he does, he just says Isis, like he says Shazam. All of his original powers are greater in strength exponentially because of all the things he gets. This power of Isis also grants him the ability to control nature. He can control the elements. He can make volcanoes blow up. He can make earthquakes happen. He's crazy. And he gets super powerful telekinesis because he's already got everything else. Why not give him that too? Look, when you add all of this up and you see that Black Adam is exactly the type of opponent that gives Dr. Doom not just trouble, but defeats him on the reg, you understand very quickly that as great as Dr. Doom is, and if he had a chance to go back in time, whatever it is, in a second encounter, there's a good chance Dr. Doom is going to do not bad at all. But in a first encounter, as I've just shown, he loses badly to Black Adam. That's my point number three.
Oh, I caught James in some more nonsense while he was yammering away right there. Now, first off, Black Adam, you're right. Black Adam does defeat teams of superheroes. Meanwhile, Dr. Doom defeats worlds of superheroes, right? Taking over the world twice, at least. Black Adam killed a bunch of people. They're just not on the same level. And you say he went to China and he fought China's greatest set of heroes. It's a good thing he didn't go to Russia, because there's a little team there called the Guardians that would have stomped a mud hole in him. Now, you also mentioned in 2007, you brought up the World War III event. What defeated Black Adam right there? I'll tell you, because James won't. It's because Shazam called down lightning from the sky and hit Black Adam with it, turning him back into a mortal again. Remember when James said that hasn't happened since 1945? It happened in the literal story he just talked about. That's how they beat him in the finale. That thing I told you would happen. Oops! James puts it back on the table, and then I catch it like a fastball across the plate. Now, I didn't even mention Doombots. Dr. Doom has an entire army of robots with all of his powers. Oh, by the way, he could call them on a whim if he needs to. You think fighting one Dr. Doom is rough? Fighting him in 100 Doombots is a lot rougher. And okay, James, you know what? Even if I give you the lightning, which I shouldn't, because I've just shown you where it still happens, Dr. Doom can win by creating portals and transporting Black Adam to another dimension. He can use high-level magic and use his mind control powers to make him stand down. He can drain the magic from his body, thus converting him back to a normal person with his magic drain abilities. He can suck the power out of his body like he did the power cosmic from the freaking Beyonder and take away his powers that way. And barring everything, he can time travel and reset the board and do it all again. I don't see any way that Black Adam actually pulls this off because Dr. Doom has too many avenues to success and he's not going to be dumb enough to sit here and try to punch Black Adam down like all these other heroes you mentioned did.
So you're saying it was Arcane Lightning that took down Black Adam, not regular, from someone who knew he used it and
had
used it to
prepare. Powerful lightning attack, you know, like I said earlier.
And all the ways he beat the Beyonder when he had time to prepare, because that was Secret War back in 1984. He had time to prepare and make stuff. You're saying he
the Beyonder's like the fourth person with the power cosmic he took power from. So at that point, it's just one of his moves.
Beyonder is way more powerful than that, by the way. He's actually the embodiment of a universe. But you know
he is. But he got him
with time to prepare.
Got him.
All right.
Just
here
like
we
I
go.
Got
Listen,
you.
Toby, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Toby has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we got another newcomer coming on in here. I don't know how I feel. I don't know what this name means. I do not want to Google it for fear of my search history being ruined. But Boko Boy is here. Boko Boy is a new patron. And welcome, Boko Boy, to the game. It's your day in the sun.
You know what? Boko Boy sounds insanely powerful. And again, Definitely. In the honor of me coming back or, you know, seeing I just came back from San Diego Comic-Con and I saw some of the most powerful beings in all of geek culture being portrayed. I actually saw the most powerful being in all of geek culture live and in person. Let's see if Boko Boy has a chance against, you know who I'm talking about, Sergeant Slaughter.
Whoa, Boko Boy is going to get in the ring with Sergeant Slaughter. And we're not talking about 1970s peak physical Sergeant Slaughter. Heck, we're not talking about early 90s WWF champion Sergeant Slaughter, the Iraqi defender during the Persian Gulf War. We are talking about, at height of his powers, G.I. Joe the movie, Sergeant Slaughter from 1987. And you get into the ring with that Sergeant Slaughter, and first off, he's going to start berating you for even trying. He's going to say, Boko Boy, more like Boko Man needed today. And then he's going to absolutely turn around. They're going to lock up. And Sergeant Slaughter is just going to immediately gorilla press Boko Boy over his head and throw him into the third row. At this point, Boko Boy looks around. He grabs a popcorn, grabs a soda, goes to get back into the ring. But regrettably, because he stopped to eat something, the 10 count was called. Sergeant Slaughter cannot be defeated, even by our patron of the week. It's weak. It's on a technicality. It's on a count out. But no, Boko Boy, I'm so sorry. Better luck next time. You don't take on peak Sergeant Slaughter and think you're getting back in that ring.
What happened in the Patreon battle? Patron of the week. I don't know if this has ever happened before. Boko Boy, you got to come back and get a win. Take back this valor that was taken. Of course, it was Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, I didn't finish the story, James. Excuse me. Because then Boko Boy rips off his mask because he was wearing a mask.
Right.
And reveals himself to be Delvin Cox. And now it all makes tons of sense.
Oh, jeez. Delvin, I'm sorry you lost to Sergeant Slaughter via Boko Boy mask. Listen, I think that'll be a big seller at Halloween. Look, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up. And you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Toby, look, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will. And reveal who you think wins this battle between Dr. Doom and Black Adam.
Okay, so starting out at the beginning, I have no idea who either of these characters really truly are or their abilities. So at first, I'm just blown away by, you know, the power from being able to crush a diamond in your hands to, you know, tank against, you know, Cyclops and all these people. And then Black Adam throwing a cruise ship across continents. And I'm just like, wow, who's stronger, you know? But then I start thinking, well, okay, they each have counters to their abilities. So who's stronger might not matter. It may be who can counter and take that strength and use it against them. That made me lean more towards, you know, initially I thought the strength of being able to move a moon, put it in Black Adam's camp. Then I thought maybe the counters of Dr. Doom would put it in his favor. Eventually, I figure like they both have counters against each other, so maybe it just comes back to who's the most skilled combatant. And then I was impressed by the tale of, you know, Black Adam losing his powers but still being able to take on Batman, a person who has no powers, whose only ability, you know, he becomes a superhero solely through his, you know, non-magical abilities. And then I just kind of got overwhelmed. I was like, man, these guys have so many abilities, like 400 abilities, but, you know, you can't use them all at once, right? So it's a random encounter. Who's going to strike first? And, you know, on the one hand, I think, like, Dr. Doom has a lot of strong go-to weapons like lightning and magic and reversal that could help even if he's not familiar with an opponent. On the other hand, Black Adam can move at the speed of light, and he has the wisdom of all the Egyptian gods. So, you know, Dr. Doom is coming up, and he's got this skull mask and a cape. I don't think you even need the wisdom of a million Egyptian gods to know that he's up to no good, right? And you can move at the speed of light. I feel like I'm not as familiar with the superhero universe, but, you know, I do know something about physics, and nothing can move faster than light, right? So even if he has a time cube, his hand isn't going to move and trigger it before Black Adam has the ability to, you know, recognize it with his wisdom that this guy is, you know, a threat, and then move to neutralize him. You know, the switching souls thing was compelling, but then, yeah, again, like, you know, Black Adam has that, it's not his first rodeo. You know, he's driven people insane by, you know, all of his, you know, inner turmoil and everything like that. So, you know, I think my go-to impression here is that I think that Black Adam would win the first fight in like a neutral ground, and then maybe Dr. Doom would engineer a sort of counter or be prepared next time in some way. I also think, you know, you also have to take it from the theoretical to the empirical. You know, when you look at their actual records, okay, you know, you can see, you can put their resumes against each other, but when it comes down to it, you've got, who was it, Thor beating Dr. Doom and stuff like that. And, you know, to me, it seems like, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I feel like, you know, the win-loss record of Black Adam is going to be more impressive. I mean, Dr. Doom did take over the world twice, but that shows me that he lost it once. Like, you shouldn't have to do that twice, right? You know, so clearly he's a little bit vulnerable. Yeah, he's got a lot of Doom bots, but I feel like every time I've seen that trick played in a comic book where it's like, oh, I made a bunch of clones to myself, like, they immediately get knocked out because, like, you just can't deal with that much stuff, you know. You know, and I guess when it comes down to it, I also just really like that Black Adam has Jewish friends. You know, I'm I'm Jewish myself, hey, and, you know, I gotta say, like, Dr. Doom can take over the world. That doesn't sound like a guy who has a lot of Jewish friends, you know. I mean, I just feel like those that's kind of different vibes. And, you know, what's more powerful than taking over the world is, you know, creating peace in the Middle East. So I gotta give it to Black Adam on this one.
And there you have it. Little did we know we had two Jewish superheroes on the Who Would Win show this week. Black Adam narrowly, and I mean narrowly, defeats one of the greatest, if not the greatest villain from the MCU, from the Marvel Universe, I should say, who can defeat anyone if they have enough time and preparation to do so. That doesn't actually factor in a Who Would Win battle. All that being said, this was incredible. Race to Canis, you brought it again this week. You did even better research. You had me sweating. You came up a little short, but man, you should be very proud of yourself. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you feel.
I have so many counters to absolutely everything that Toby just said in his decision. Like, just because Black Adam is fast enough to get in the first hit, would it be enough? I don't think the answer is yes. I think that force field, which knocks down 90-ton Marvel people and 100-ton Marvel people, Dr. Doom can take that first shot. It's not going to drop him immediately, which is what Black Adam would have to do in order to win this battle. I don't think so. I could see Black Adam getting the first, second, and third hits, but I can also see it meaning literally nothing to a character like Dr. Doom, who has way more tricks up his sleeve and way more things than powers that he can fall back on, quite honestly. And Toby, the reason why Dr. Doom took over the world a second time is because after he did it the first time, he gave it back because he got bored. It was no more challenge left in the world, so he gave the world back so he could conquer it again for funsies. He literally went into New Game Plus. That's what he did. So that argument holds less than zero water.
But Toby, you know, it's funny because he had the power of the Beyonder of the Universe. He lost it. By the way, he had the power of Galactus, lost it. You know, this is someone, unfortunately, who, you know, it's like he's an amazing Ric Flair, right, of the Marvel Universe. He's like 16-time world champion. But you got to ask yourself, why is it 16 times, right? Is that the impressive thing? Or the fact that, you know, if it's a two-time world champion over here, listen, I'm not trying to be racist against my wrestling. All I'm trying to say is I love your decision. I love Dr. Doom. I love Black Adam. This is the Who Would Win show at its greatest. Toby, you did it again. You brought the magic. You brought the Jewish superheroes. Not enough of that on the Who Would Win show. Please come back anytime and bring back your awesomeness to the show. In the meantime, please tell our audience, the Legion of Audience, I should say, our fan base, where they can find you online.
Okay. Well, you can find me on all the social media platforms. I'm very active on Twitter at Toby Hard to Spell, also on Instagram. And if you want to see that, you know, world famous TikTok, it's at Toby on Housing, because I usually talk about housing. That's my big thing, is housing reform. I am I help run a local organization, West Side for Everyone, that helps advocate for more housing of all kinds on the west side of Los Angeles, making it a place where everyone can afford to live and flourish. And, you know, obviously not everyone lives in LA, but these are issues that are omnipresent across, you know, America, Canada, you know, all over the place. You find these core issues, and I recommend, you know, support housing locally. That's what I do. Do whatever you can. And if you want to hear more from me about that, follow me at Toby on Housing, at Toby Hard to Spell. I'm also going to be pretty active now that I have this TikTok fame, trying to make it into something else. So who knows what I'll get up to there. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was super fun.
I got to tell you, I really commend you on what you're doing with housing, especially in Los Angeles. Not enough is being done to make housing affordable for everybody. This is not me being weird or whatever. I'm just saying this is a real big thing. Politicians have been trying to handle it. I think you need someone like a Toby to kind of get in there and just bring the truth to people and make everyone understand, like, hey, this has to be something that's dealt with. So good on you. You're doing great work. And anyway, we can support you. We're in 100%. So with that being said, now back to the show. Race to Canis. Again, great job today. You brought it. You came up a little short, but nothing to be ashamed of. Tell Legion of Audience where they can find you.
Okay, so I was going to vote for Toby in his new election that obviously he's pushing towards, but hold on a sec. I've got to put this donation into the NIMBY network. $50 and send. Okay, sorry, I now oppose affordable housing, unfortunately. I didn't until this moment, but I've been pushed to the edge by our judge this week. Toby, I value your opinion greatly.
But I mean, you made some great points after the bell rang. I gotta give it to you.
Thank you. I don't understand how you take the two arguments that we made and then put them together. And this happens to me a lot out in the wild. I'll have a conversation with somebody who says wildly irrational things. I bring them truth. And then at the end, they go, well, I heard what you said, but I'm going to have to stick with the wildly irrational thing that I already believe, despite the mountain of evidence you've brought to me and poked holes in every one of my arguments and showed me how it's based on false information. You haven't changed my mind, but you've given me a lot to think about, which is worth about as much as this decision in a who would win battle. Horrifying to it all. Toby, I will firmly disagree with you. Dr. Doom absolutely wins this battle 10 times out of 9 because he time traveled to win it again. In fact, you say, well, why doesn't he have the power of the Beyonder anymore? I've played Call of Duty. Once you hit max level, you do the prestige and you start back over again at level 1. That's how Dr. Doom works. It's time is a flat circle, baby. He works in cycles. He conquers the world, just like fishing. He catches the fish, takes it off the hook, and throws it back in the water to catch it again. That's what a true sportsman does. And that's Dr. Doom defeating worlds over and over and over again. I'm greatly so disappointed that I am not going to go on my Twitter anymore. Ha ha, just kidding. Of course I'm not. I'm going back on Threads at Almighty Ray 316, and I'm filing a formal protest with the Who Would Win Committee, the WWWC. We don't talk about them very often, but I'm talking about them today. That's the secret group that run everything. That's above Brent Pope's position. These are shadowy individuals who wear robes in the corner of our meetings and sit in idle darkness because they won't let that half of the boardroom even be lit up by halogens. It's outrageous. Those people are hearing my complaints because this one was a slam dunk and somehow you hit the front of the rim and fell on your butt.
Well, I don't know who would win, but I feel like I lost now.
Oh, don't worry. I'll get you back. Ray, did you say where people can find you?
You can find me at the NIMBY Network. That's the Not In My Backyard Network.
Fair enough.
Opposing affordable housing. I've just upped it to $55. That's my new donation because I'm just so darn mad.
Wow, you've given up your whole Burger King daily budget for that donation.
You know I'm banned. Stop bringing it up. It hurts my feelings.
You still have money. Anyway, you still give me money to go to Burger King for you.
I'm pulling back the curtain. They won't take them. I know. Bring it up again, jerko.
I will. All right. You can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Race to Kane's favorite social media platform. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook by typing in at James Gabsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. Now at 90,000 freaking members. I don't know what's happening there, but keep it going. You can make a suggestion there for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads. We listen to Race to Canis. Now we're on Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show.
And how do I keep banning people on the Facebook group and yet it keeps getting bigger? It's almost like there's a connection. The more people I see fit to ban, the more people want to come to our group. It's almost like we're keeping out the bots, as Toby would appreciate, and the ne'er-do-wells, and we're creating a positive community, and someday they'll even know there's a podcast.
It's true. Sometimes where I'm on there and I'll ask a question to the group, hey, who knows that there's actually who's listening to the podcast? And we'll get a bunch of people going like, wait, there's a Who Would Win podcast? And I'm like, that's when you know.
It is the name of the Facebook group, people.
That's when you know the group's growing really big. All right, listen, don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts.
I hate people.
It's a mutual feeling. Spotify and wherever else you go for your podcast. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time. Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.